Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, hello and welcome back. You are so welcome to this segment, which, as you know, is when we gather together and pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And each day in that, I'm accompanied by a prayer warrior, somebody who comes in and gives up their time and their energies to pray for you. That's right, pray for you live on air with me today. So let's find out who is our prayer warrior.
In the studio with us, Kevin, we have Miss Debbie Jones.
Debbie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. It's good to be back.
Debbie, when was it November the last time you were here?
I believe so. It's been a minute.
You know, I thought it was something I said.
No, not at all.
Because I think, Debbie, you were one of our earliest prayer warriors, and then you disappeared. Most of the prayer warriors have come back, but now I'm so glad and relieved that you have come back. It's really good to have you here. Now, just remind me, whereabouts are you from?
I live in Daphne, which is about 10, 15 minutes away from Fairhope, not far.
And which is your parish, Debbie?
Christ the King.
Christ the King, no better place.
Yes.
We've had some superb people from Christ the King. I mean, they're all superb, right? But Christ the King and St. Lawrence, they really stand out a mile with some of the, with just the frequency and the real love that you find in those parishes for the community there, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the last time I was here in November, my husband was getting ready to have surgery in December. So that kind of took me out for a few months. But I'm back.
And may I ask how he's doing?
Oh, he did beautifully. It went great. Prayers, answers, all glory be to God.
That's what we like, Debbie. All the glory to him. Absolutely. Well, I hope you've got with you today lots and lots of intentions, which we'll come to in a moment, but I hope you've brought a whole saddlebag full of them.
Not really, just about three.
Three. Well, I'm sure we can dig deeper and get a few more. There's always other things that are on people's minds, you know. Everybody's got lots of intentions if they look deep enough. Now, listen, you've heard Debbie's here today. Why don't you think about sending a prayer request in on texting by 251-928-2111. That'll come straight through to me. Or if you want to talk to Reed, you can phone in on 888-928-0881. He will screen your call. If you want to be anonymous, it's perfectly okay as well. We'll take any intentions. Large, small, everything in between. And you can pray about anything. We've had prayers that are really serious, cancer, all the usual stuff. We've had prayers for cats and dogs and a horse. So, listen, it's all here, right? All of life is here because it's all part of our wonderful creation, the gift from God. Okay, so Debbie, I'm assuming you've come fully armed for the occasion.
I'm ready.
Safety catch off?
Yes.
In which case, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Wonderful. That's us up and running, Debbie. So for this first decade, who or what would you like us to pray for?
I would like to offer this chaplet in atonement for the sins of the United States, especially abortion and sins of the flesh.
That's a wonderful intention, and one that is very, very much needed at this time. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for the atonement for those sins, impure sins of one sort or another, and especially for the sin, the abomination of abortion. But maybe we'd like to add, Debbie, also to ask for the grace of purity in the nation, in the hearts of those Americans.
Yes, definitely.
You know, that the good book tells us that the pure of heart can see God. And as we've just been hearing with Joe and Joe, they want the United States to be able to see the truth. And that means seeing our Lord, seeing God. So let's ask for that grace as well. But absolutely, let's make atonement now in this decade for all impure sins, sins of impurity, and also sins against life, sins the abortion. And if anybody's listening to this who is in any way suffering because of abortion, in whatever way, we're also praying for you at this time as well. God's mercy is there for you. No sin is greater than another. So let's ask for the grace to repent and to seek out sacramental confession if we're Catholics at this time. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Debbie. Now, while we've been on air, Anne has texted in. Good morning to you, Anne. And Anne is asking for a prayer for her 95-year-old mom. And her mom is currently living in a nursing home. Her mom needs a high level of care, and that's why she's had to move to a nursing home. But her poor old mom is finding it a bit of a struggle with the new environment she's living in, with the change, I guess, from going from one's home to a nursing home. So Anne, her daughter, is asking for prayers this morning. Anne, we'd love to pray for your mom and pray for all the staff at the nursing home as well. And pray for everybody who's at the nursing home. Let's pray that your mom makes some really nice friends there, some really good people will befriend her, and suddenly she'll start to think, this isn't such a bad place. This is okay. And we pray that the nursing staff will be very gentle and loving to her. And somehow, the mystery of God's mercy will come into that place, and she'll be happy, and you'll be happy that she's there. So let's pray for that, Anne, and thank you so much for getting in touch this morning. It's one of those situations a lot of people find themselves in, right, Debbie, with elderly parents?
Yes, it is.
Never easy.
No, it's not.
Never easy. Okay, Anne, listen, keep us abreast of what's happening. And if you need prayers for your mom anytime, you let us know. And we'll also pray for you, Anne. You haven't asked for prayers, but we pray for you, whatever your needs are, whatever your family's needs are at this time. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Debbie. Okay, this third decade is back to you, Debbie.
Well, I'd like to pray for my son, Reed, who is engaged and will be married in November to a sweet lady, Leslie, for their wedding coming up.
That sounds like something which has made your heart sing, Debbie.
It very, very happy.
Is this your first son to get married?
It is. It's my first son. Wow. To get married. Yeah.
There won't be a dry eye in the house, you know that.
I know. We've been trying to think about what song we're going to dance to, and everyone we come up with, I'm like, oh no, I can't do that one.
Oh, well, this is wonderful. Well, listen, Reed, we'll pray for you. Your mommy, Debbie, is obviously a very good woman and very proud of you, and rightly so. And we'll also pray for Leslie. You've acquired a new daughter. You realize that, don't you, Debbie?
I know, and Kaylin and I need the help because we're outnumbered, so...
Which is wonderful. So I hope it all goes well. Do we know the actual date of this wedding?
Yes, November the 18th.
November the 18th. Well, look, Debbie, it's an offer, not a command, but it's an offer. We'd love to pray for Reed and Leslie in the coming months. Just, I mean, you know what it's like with weddings. It's all the hassle and the pressure and all the rest of it. So we'd love to just pray that the Spirit or the Prince of Peace will lead them both by the hand to the altar and beyond once they are wed in the eyes of God. How about that?
Great. Yes. Amen.
So you text the show and you keep us up to date on what's happening. And also, if Reed and Leslie, if you're listening to this, if your mommy lets you hear this, we'd love to have you on as an engaged couple just before you're getting married. Come in, pray together, and we'll pray. Get the whole Archangel Radio family praying for you, for your marriage, for the fecundity of your marriage, and also for the great joy that God is going to bring into your life and into the lives of many other people through a faithful witness to your marriage. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Debbie. And it was so nice to pray for such joyful intention, right? Something which is going to be good. Okay, Reed and Leslie, we're thinking about you and praying for you. Now, somebody else we've been thinking about a lot recently and praying for is Charles. Charles is Shannon's dad, and Shannon works here at the station. She's the woman that does all the business with the donors and all of that good stuff. And she's also been a prayer warrior on this show many, many times. And she's a very valued member of the team here at Archangel Radio. Now, Shannon's father, Charles, has not been well lately. He had to go into hospital recently. We prayed for him as he was having an operation for a brain tumor. And he's been recovering this week, and we heard about him getting various results on Tuesday of this week. We've just had an update, thanks to Sherry, who also works here. Thank you, Sherry. Coming from Shannon, and it's as follows. Charles is doing well. He has come out. He's hopefully going to be coming out of the ICU today. There are a few issues, but they are hopeful. The medical staff are hopeful that the swelling, etc., will go down, and that he will be likely to be in hospital only for a couple of weeks and then have rehab after that. And Sherry goes on to say that Shannon is extremely thankful to everybody on the Archangel Radio prayer family who have come together to pray for her and Charles at this time. So Charles, if you ever hear this, we're praying for you still, and we will continue to pray for you until you are fully restored back to the community, back to the love of your family here on the outside. And Shannon, our thoughts and prayers are very much with you at this time. It's never easy when you have relatives in hospital, is it, Debbie?
No, it's not. Like I said, Jed just had surgery back in December, and it's a cross you have to pick up and carry.
That's right. Never easy, though.
No.
Never easy. Okay, so, you got through it, Debbie. You're out the other side. So let's keep that in mind for Shannon. And please God, this will pass and Charles will be restored to health, if it be God's will. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Debbie. Now, I'm going to come to the team here that we've assembled. But just before that, we've had another request in last minute from Louise. Good morning to you, Louise. And Louise is asking for prayers for John, who is very sick with cancer, and for his wife, Leslie. And she's also asking for her husband's aunt, Sis, who is now 100 years old and bedridden, and has her sons look after her. She's asking for prayers for Sis this morning, and for Sarah, who organizes and leads our rosary group, and for the repose of the soul of her husband, George, pronounced Jorge. Thank you, Louise. So, Louise, we'll pray for all of those. We'll pray for John, for Sis, and for Sarah and Jorge. And we'll also pray for you, Louise, and we pray for Hugh, pray for Lily, pray for Baxter, who you've brought to our attention as well. So let's find out, Reed, who would you like us to pray for this morning?
Kevin, I would love to pray for anybody in the Archdiocese who is a lector or an altar server,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, they always find a lot of fulfillment in it, and that they carry out the the principles in the rest of their lives and everything. And I also pray that more people see themselves as somebody who's able to do those things for their parish.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we'll pray for that. And Mike, do you have any prayer intentions this morning?
I do. I'll let you pray for the The Repose of the Soul of Ellen's Dead, John Taylor, that God will bring comfort to the Taylor family, for John's wife, Eileen, for her caretakers, that God will give them the strength and just give her sister and brother-in-law who are living next door the strength to take care of her mom. I'd like to pray for Tom Riello's wife, Christine, who is having hip surgery. I'd like to pray for a friend of my family, a gentleman by the name of Butch DeShera. Pray for him that he will. I know he was diagnosed, Debbie, with
a type of blood cancer.
A type of blood cancer. So I pray for him and his. For healing there. I like to pray for my family, my children, Donnie, Jordan, and Stella, and for a special prayer for Jennifer, that she'll remain in remission and that she will get her spirits about her. She's been in a, you know, depression, kind of a funk, and so I just pray for her. Pray for me as a father. That I can do the best job that I can and maintaining my mental capacity to care for them, my mental health, and pray for all of my family, my my mom, dad, brother, BC, sister, Ashley. Pray for all my cousins, especially my cousin CJ and his fiance Anna Rose, as they prepare to get married in next January next year. So, those are my prayer intentions.
That's wonderful, Mike. So good to have you back and praying with us. And I believe we have with us our esteemed executive producer, Michelle McAloon. Michelle, are you really there?
I am really here, and I like that word, esteemed. So that's good. Let's see. My prayer intentions are, you know, I'd pray for my family and my boys, especially my youngest son at this time, and Linda and Steve Ingram, who I'm staying with, and they're going through a little bit of a journey themselves with some physical issues. So that's who I would like to pray for.
Okay, and we'll also pray for you as well, Ellen. Michelle, it's so good to have you here in the studio for once instead of the other side of the world. So we put all these intentions together, and we leave the last word, as always, to you, Debbie. Debbie, final word. Who or what would you like us to pray for? What has come to your heart or your mind during this last 30 minutes?
Well, my son Cooper, who is getting ready to go to Auburn to school up there, and he's trying to discern what it is he actually wants to study, and for my daughter Kaylin and my son-in-law and my grandbabies, Bo, Molly, and Kate, but mainly Cooper. He's going to be the end of me.
Well, look, Debbie, the offer still stands.
Maybe we should pray for me.
Yeah.
Well, we're definitely going to pray for
me.
You as well.
How about all mothers?
Right?
All mothers. This is the theme of this show. We pray for all mothers. Don't worry. Well, listen, Debbie, it's not a once-off offer. This. We'll pray for you and Cooper for the next few weeks. You're probably going to need it, both of you. So we definitely pray for Cooper. We pray for all your family and everybody that's mentioned. That's wonderful. I've just had one last late request coming in from Stark, and she's asking for prayers for all of those listed on the prayer list of the Seven Sorrows Rosary prayer list. So we're very happy to do that. Anybody who's on the Seven Sorrows list, you're getting double helpings today from us as well. Okay, so let's come together then for this last decade as we say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Debbie, thank you so much for coming in, praying with us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Will you do me a favor?
Sure.
Don't leave it so long.
Okay. I won't. I promise.
And bring Cooper with you next time.
I need to. Maybe you could talk some sense into him for me.
Maybe so. Listen, Debbie, it's been lovely having you here. Have a wonderful Thursday, whatever you get up to.
Thank you.
Okay, when we come back, we will be doing story time. And we'll be talking all about a photographer. And then we'll also be talking about the patron saint of photography, which might surprise you. Stay tuned to the Telefrequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. It's great having your company this Thursday here today. Now, as you heard, our executive producer is in the building, which is why Reid and I are on our very, very best behavior. Michelle, welcome to your own radio station.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here.
Now, to what do we do? What? Let me say that again. To what do we owe the honor?
I just think that my presence enriches. No, I'm just kidding. You know what? I think it's great. Just I love being part of the show. I love executive producing it. The amazing talent that is in the show with you, who just amazing, amazing talent, amazing interviewer. Reid Hodges with his production. He is the boss. Mike Romano with his sound, his mentorship. It's just such a great team, not to mention the prayer warriors and the people that we interview. We really have been able to create such a great community, and I think truly, truly blessed.
If I may jump in here, I just want to say I am so thankful that Reid and I are not having to call Germany right now. Oh. You're in the studio.
That's
right. We don't have to worry about you dropping out or not being able to hear you.
That's right. Yeah, having to go through crazy German networks.
You've got you
and
right
all
here
stuff.
In the flesh.
It is. Yeah. It's a good thing. So, you know, and I love this show and I love what this show does. I mean, the people that you interview are just amazing, especially Joe and Joe today. What great energy. What just great forthrightness and courage and bravery and hope, absolute hope that those two men have.
They're fearless, you know, and that's what we need, more fearless hosts who aren't afraid to speak the truth.
Absolutely. We need fearless people now. And
We do. And they do a great job of encouraging that.
And, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ and John Paul II said, you know, do not be afraid. And this is the times that we are faced with. This is our lives. This is our history. And it is a time for us as adults, as Christians, to stand up and not to be afraid. And to understand that he is with us until the end of the age. And so there's so many things that come in, and I thought that Joe and Joe really articulated that very, very well.
For such a time as this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let me ask Reid. Reid, this is your first time to actually meet Michelle, your executive producer.
Yes, sure is. You'll notice that now that she is in the United States, she no longer has her orchestral accompaniment when she comes on the show.
yeah, absolutely. It must have been a great pleasure for you two to actually meet each other for the first. You've talked on the phone, we've been on Skype calls, but actually sit down and actually see somebody, it's kind of a nice experience, right?
Yes, it is.
It was kind of like meeting you for the first time, Kevin, too. So, you know, we had kind of developed a professional relationship on air and through Lectrons. But, you know, you can never replace the real human experience. So it was so great seeing for the first time, the great energy of the young man, Mr. Reid.
And Reid? Seeing the great energy of your executive producer, no doubt.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, I appreciate all the faith that Michelle and Mike and Ellen have put in me. And, you know, they're telling me that I am pleasing them with everything that I do. So I just want to keep that up.
Absolutely. Well, you certainly are. Well, look, it's so great to have everybody together in the one spot. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity. Three out of four ain't bad.
We need four out of four here. We need you, Kevin, here. You know that?
We'll get there. Once the immigration stop refusing my application, I'll be straight over. You know that.
Okay, there you go.
once the State Department stopped bringing up that
foreigners
charge,
right?
from many years ago, which I got off on a legal technicality. Once that's out of the way, I'm on the first plane out to Mobile. But listen, it's really, really good to have you, Michelle. I hope you're enjoying yourself.
Oh, I do. I love the station. I love talking to people is in the station. I love Fairhope, South Alabama. I like being an American. I enjoy my life over in Europe, but at my true heart, I am an American, and I'm a Southern American, so I'm definitely home.
Home is where the heart is.
That's right. There you go.
Sweet home Alabama, as
Absolutely.
The song says.
Absolutely. Thank God. So.
Okay. Well, listen, shall we go story time?
Let's do it.
Can't wait. All right. Bye, <That's> Kevin.
Yes, welcome to Storytime here on the Turley Frequency on Archangel Radio. And it's always a pleasure to just spend a bit of time together. That part of the morning where maybe it's not so rushed, maybe you can sit down for a moment, pour yourself another cup of coffee or put your feet up or go out for a quick walk and listen to me tell you a story. We all love having stories told to us. It's one of our earliest memories, right? It is mine. Mother sitting beside the bed, telling you the story. And then when the story finished, you said, Mom, tell me the story again. And again, and again, and again. You know this sort of scenario. If any of you are parents, you know this better than I do. Okay, so yesterday was a particular feast day. I don't know if you know whose feast day it was yesterday. I didn't. I found out by accident today, but it was a happy accident, as these things tend to be, and on this show tend to be suspiciously frequent. Yesterday was the feast day of Saint Veronica. Yes, that Veronica. The Veronica of the Veil, do you remember? Now, do you remember we mentioned it sort of obliquely during the week because we were talking about the Holy Shroud, the Turin Shroud, and we were talking about the Sidarium in Oviedo and how these would have little fragments of the blood, the precious blood upon them, and how they had been tested by scientists and were all found to contain the same type of blood type, and how rare that was. Not rare amongst Jews from the first century, though. AB type is the type of blood that is found on both materials. So we all know about Veronica because anybody who's gone into a Catholic church will have looked at the Stations of the Cross, you know, those little images at the side of the church often. And during Lent, often we do what's known as the Stations of the Cross. And you go around the different stations, 14 in all, and you remember, reflect, meditate on one aspect of the Passion of our Lord. And one of the stations is dedicated to Veronica, who wipes the face of Jesus. Now, there's all sorts of really interesting things about Veronica, which I haven't got time to go into today because I want to talk about somebody else. But it's really, really interesting. But you might want to wonder, where is Veronica's veil? You ever wondered that? I can honestly say I remember asking my mom many, many years ago when I was a little boy. I said, "Mom, where is Veronica's veil?" And you know what? She gave me the right answer. And this is in the days way before internet. Let's take a little listen to this EWTN news clip, which will explain more.
Oh, finally, tonight, we look at the famous Veils of Veronica. They show the face of Christ after being used to wipe the face of Jesus when he fell while carrying the cross all the way to Calvary. EWTN Vatican Bureau Chief Alan Holdren has more from Rome.
There are two Veils of Veronica in Italy that can help us decipher the true face of Jesus. One veil is kept under lock and key in St. Peter's Basilica. It's shown from the balcony above the statue of St. Veronica once a year on the fifth Sunday of Lent, but is otherwise kept in a chapel within the pillar.
The face of Christ and devotion to the face of Christ, which comes from the arrival of the Veronica's veil, which leaves the Veronica, the woman who wiped Christ's face on the road to Calvary, and the cloth that has Jesus' face imprinted on it, really begins to circulate in the 1100s. We begin to hear about it, it's exhibited in St. Peter's as of basically the Middle Ages. So 1100s, 1200s, you begin to see it, this idea of an actual image of Jesus' face.
So it's held in St. Peter's, and that was the answer my mom gave me all those centuries ago, it seems. And there it stays. But did you know what St. Veronica is the patron saint of? Just think about it for a moment. Just for a moment. Because when I found out, it was almost like one of those aha moments. You thought, of course. She is the patron saint of photography. Think about it. She has the veil, and the veil has the image of our Savior's bloodied face upon it. It's almost like the shroud and the photographic image. Anyway, she is the patron saint of photography, and that is such a happy coincidence. This was yesterday, because today I wanted to talk to you about somebody who I interviewed recently for a newspaper article. And I'll give you the details of the article at the end, and you can go away and read it. Not so much for my writing, but for his photography, which I think is some of the best I've seen in a long time. But let's start at the beginning. A few years ago, on my internet feed, as these things happen, images started appearing. You know, they were news items, or I was coming across very, very interesting images that stood out from the many images which saturate our news feeds. Now, these images varied in terms of place and subject matter, in terms of emotion and possible meaning, but they all shared one characteristic. They had something about them which was decidedly, definably, and deliberately Catholic. Now, some of the pictures were more obviously Catholic than others. Pictures of nuns and monks, of priests offering the Holy Sacrifice. Others were less obviously Catholic, but expressed, if I can say, a sort of Catholic sensibility. These were ones often dealing with pro-life witness on the streets of America. They were, in short, some of the best I'd ever seen of that type. And the sheer volume of the images that kept coming, combined with their obvious power, to say nothing of their skillful construction, made me very curious as to who was the author. Now, in this day and age, it's not very hard to find out anything. And it took me not very long to find out that the man behind it all was somebody called Jeffrey Bruno. And shortly after, I was checking out his website, looking at yet more of his work, and becoming increasingly more impressed with the more I saw. Now, a few months ago, I'd written to him and said, I'd like to do a profile on you for the National Catholic Register. And he said, sure. And eventually, through the wonders of technology, there he was on my computer screen looking at me, and me looking at him. It was curious because he was framed in a photographic image, which is, in a sense, what he is all about, right? Now, we were talking earlier, just at Water Cooler, about how good it is to meet people in the flesh. And it is. There's no substitute for it. I don't care what anybody says. Actually, spending time with somebody, there's so much communication, which is nonverbal. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that psychologists and so forth have said that 70% of our communication is nonverbal. 70%. So you know how difficult it is to do a radio show. You don't have 70%. You've got barely 30%. But anyway, Jeffrey was sitting in front of me for this interview. And I have to say that certainly on screen, he was as relaxed and as friendly. He had a very, very easy manner. It was like we were old friends just dropping in for a cup of coffee mid-morning. Him in New York City, me in London. And he was in no rush. Such a busy man, much in demand. No problem. Take your time. So I did. I was prepared to discuss anything. Allowed me to tape the conversation. He couldn't have been more helpful as an interviewee. Couldn't have been more helpful. Now, before I met him, obviously, I'd looked at the website. And you read what people say about themselves. It's very illuminating what people are saying about themselves. And it told me that Jeffrey Bruno is an award-winning photographer, writer, creative director, who focuses on issues and stories relating to the Catholic Church in the spirit of, get this, evangelization through imagery. I like that. It intrigued me and it warmed me. Evangelization through imagery. In a sense, that's what we're doing on this show, right? Except we're not using images. We're using mental images, the theater of the mind. But it's evangelization through that medium. So here was a creative using his wonderful gifts to evangelize through image. But it went on to say that his vocation is to present the beauty and mission of the church, to inspire, to educate, and to inform. So I was sitting in front of him and we were chatting away. So I started asking him about this, about his vocation, what he understood to be his vocation. Now, if you were listening earlier, you would have heard Joe and Joe give a wonderful exposition of their vocation and the sense of mystery in any vocational calling, right? For most vocations, yours and mine, we're not given a route map. Some of us are barely given a compass. You're just told go in that direction, or you sense you're meant to go in that direction or this direction or whatever. And you do. And the Lord will lead you one step at a time. You don't need to know all the steps. You don't need to see the top of the staircase. He will take you step by step by step. And this is something I keep hearing with authentic vocations. The ones I'm not so enamored with, or the ones that I'm slightly more cautious about, is, for example, I remember many years ago, people coming to me saying, I'm going to be a priest, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and they never even got to the seminary. They had an idea. It wasn't necessarily what God had in mind. So as I was speaking to him, Jeffrey looked straight at me in response to a question arising from the statement about his vocation on the website. And his reply was this: this is a vocation. I don't decide who looks at what I do. It is simply evangelization through imagery. Now, there was something about his voice that I immediately picked up on. Because it was a voice which I'd heard before, not his accent, not even the tone of his voice. But as we talked, the way in which he talked about his faith, there was like a familiar ring to it. And let me explain what that is. It's the voice of a whole generation of Catholics who grew up in the confusion following the Second Vatican Council. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, and you don't remember that era of the church, count your blessings. This was the voice of someone who had drifted away, like so many of us had, from the church, and then came back on a wave of faith that crashed upon the hard rocks of secularity with a newfound certainty and an evangelical fervor. I'd heard this voice many times before, and now I recognized it in the voice of Geoffrey Bruno. So he continued to speak, and I continued to listen. His vocational sense, he told me, is expressed in and through his art, reaffirmed each and every day. But he went on to say that discernment is a perpetual thing, and each day he has to work out what is his will. And Geoffrey's goal each day is, whatever you want, Lord. Listening to Geoffrey, it was clear this awareness of his singular calling was today a concrete component in his life. For him, the professional and the spiritual had long since blended into a sense of mission. So who was he? Well, Geoffrey was born in 1966 in Newark, New York. I'm probably butchering that. Newark, New York, New York State. Today he lives in New York City with Alicia, his wife of 29 years. And the website copy completes the picture of his domestic circumstances. Get this. He lives with, and this is his quotes, two crazy kids, grandson, too many cats, and a large dog in a dilapidated Civil War house by the shore. This is a man at home in more ways than one. Now, he explained to me how he works and how his days had found a certain rhythm. He wakes up early in the morning, and the first thing he does is he prays. Sometimes for 30 minutes, sometimes for longer. Then he runs. Like many creatives, he has found that creativity comes not through meetings around boardroom tables, but in pounding the streets in his morning exercise. After that, he attends Holy Mass every day if he can. He goes to confession regularly, and he prays the rosary. And then he does what God has called him to do, namely to photograph the world around him through a lens as creative as it is distinctly Catholic. Now, here's the thing. Was not always the way with him. Okay. Now, in a process of an interview, sometimes you get to a point where you start asking questions and you feel like you're prying a little bit, like you're touching on things that are a little bit sensitive, memories that are best forgotten. That's how I felt at this point. But I was a journalist. I asked the questions. So, he's telling me about his early life. His childhood ambition was to be a classical musician. He studied the Baroque period. He went to a conservatory, but he didn't get on there because he fell out with his teacher, had a row, and he drifted off. He left the Baroque, headed into New York City, which in the early 80s was full of music, but not exactly Baroque music, more rock music. And in the 1980s, he found a ready venue for his skills. He knew a lot about computers and not a lot about music. And the combination meant that he would be a very good producer of music. Very quickly, he found himself in demand by many artists. And this was in the world of heavy metal and heavy rock. I know. Wonderful. So soon he was plunged into this rock and roll lifestyle, and he was touring with the bands. He had everything at his disposal. Now, he got married in 1992, and although he wasn't practicing his faith as a Catholic, he wanted to have a large family, and he suddenly realized that wanting a large family and wanting to be with his wife at home was ultimately incompatible with this rock and roll lifestyle that was on offer and which he was living. Yet the rewards continued to grow. Now, things came to a head when in 1995 he was asked by one of the Bon Jovis, yes, that Bon Jovis, the cousin of John Bon Jovi, to work at Power Station, which was the third largest studio in the world at the time. And Jeffrey accepted it, and then he realized that if he really went down that path, there would be no turning back. He could never come back. As he told me that story, it reminded me of that passage in the Gospel where the devil takes our Lord up to the top of the pinnacle and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Something similar. Anyway, Jeffrey decided to quit the world of rock and roll, and he went to live by the New York shoreline on a tugboat. Yeah, that's right. A tugboat called Harbor Star. And he decided with his wife to renovate it and start a new life, start a family. So he did. And here's the thing. He didn't find it as satisfying an experience as he thought it would be. He didn't find the peace that he was looking for. That was until one day he wandered into a Catholic church nearby the tugboat. Now, he'd been a long time away from the faith, but that day he knelt down in the church. And he prayed. He prayed that if God was truly there, truly present in that church, then please, could he make him present to Jeffrey Bruno. Now, the other day we talked about, do you remember that mass on the corridor in a hotel which totally changed a young man's life and continues to do so? Well, that afternoon when Jeffrey Bruno went into that church, things were never the same again because the Lord did make his presence felt. After that, Jeffrey came back to the faith very much. He also discovered his true calling in life, totally by accident, and that was the calling to be a photographer. Today, Jeffrey is one of the most award-winning photographers, certainly in Catholic America, but certainly also in secular America. He's very in demand. He's a very good photographer. And he's a man on a mission, evangelizing through imagery. So, on the day after the feast day of the patron saint of photography, Saint Veronica, we ask her to pray for all of us and to continue to pray for the gift that was given to Jeffrey Bruno.
All right, Kevin, we sure had some excitement with Joe and Joe on. That was really captivating.
Well, it was good fun. I told you they'd be lively, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. They sure were. I had no idea that Veronica was the patron saint of photography. That's so interesting to me how a lot of times people who become saints, they'll be the patron saint of something, and it really isn't anything that they did in their lifetime, but it has a lot to do with whatever they're the patron saint of when you think about it. It's pretty cool.
Isn't that the truth? I didn't know until today, and when I found out, I thought, of course she's the patron saint. It makes
exactly.
perfect sense.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, what do we have coming up on Friday?
Well, tomorrow we welcome the Catholic media missionary, Father Darren Merlino, to discuss, among other things, his work on the hit film Nefarious. I hope you enjoyed listening to us today. If so, let's do it all again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same me. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love, and until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.